But really, I thought that since there's several that were not here last week, that maybe I should just start all over and preach the whole thing tonight. Otherwise, those that weren't here last week, you know, how do you get them caught up with everything without giving it all? I know one pastor that was preaching a series on the home, and he only preached for 30 minutes. And every time he preached on that in that series, he gave a 15-minute review. I guess that's why they want to go to year-round school, so they don't have to spend so much time reviewing. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, verse 61 and verse 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Talking about Peter's repentance, there's a lot of subjects that have been attributed to Peter. Peter's repentance, though, is one that you and I can take comfort in. The life of Peter, really, that you and I can take comfort in. Realizing that as Peter made his way back, you and I also have hope. Last week, as we looked at this subject, Peter going out and weeping bitterly in his repentance, the process that took place, We realized that Peter was a devoted disciple of Christ. He had given up everything to follow Jesus. It was true to be said of him. In Matthew 19, 27, we have forsaken all and followed thee. He left everything. We could call it absolute surrender. We also found out that Peter was a man of ready obedience, as we can point to Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. In that passage, in the previous verses, Jesus was telling Peter to cast his net one more time after an all night of fish. Jesus, the carpenter by trade, Peter, the fisherman by trade, Jesus was telling him how to fish. But Peter's response in verse 5, nevertheless, at thy word, and he followed through. We also learned last week that Peter was a man of great faith. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, as Jesus walked on the water, he said, bid me come unto thee. Let me walk to you. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, remind us that Peter was also a man of spiritual insight. Jesus asking them, the disciples, asking Peter who he was, and Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded to him, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but God has revealed it unto you. But while we can look at these 4 points and say that Peter was a good guy, Peter was living the self life. And as he lived the self life, he found himself rebuking Jesus when Jesus talked about his sufferings. And we find that he also would deny his Christ, even after boldly proclaiming to Jesus that he would never do such a thing. If all else, if everybody else deny you and run and flee and hide, I will not. We saw from Jesus that the word deny was used in two different ways, two different places. First one was that Jesus said we must deny ourselves, take up his cross and follow him. And the second place was that Jesus was saying that Peter was going to deny him. So the same word, two different ways, two different places. It's one or the other, even for us. Not only for Peter, but for us. We will either deny self or we will follow Peter and deny Christ. And so we find Peter not only denying once, but we find that he denied the Lord three times. The first song that Kimberly chose tonight for our singing speaks about denying this friend. How can I deny this friend? It's probably hard for us to grasp. It was hard for Peter to grasp. How could he do that? I will never do that. And then when he did do it, I believe that it was hard for him to grasp that he had done it. But he did. He denied the Lord three times. But then the great part of the story is when we find that Jesus looked at him, looked upon him, and that look that he gave Peter broke Peter's heart. Broke his heart. All at once, as his eyes connected with Jesus, and there was that connection between the two of them and that remembrance and all that could have gone on just in the space of that short period of time when their eyes met. Jesus remembering, Jesus knowing, Peter remembering, Peter recognizing. And at that very moment when his mind was brought back to the words of Jesus Christ, there opened up before him the terrible sin that he had committed. The horrible failure that had come about in Peter's life. The depths into which Peter had fallen in just the short period of time. And the realization of the depths came to him at that moment when his eyes connected with the eyes of Christ. It caused Peter to go out and weep bitterly. Oh, that we could understand all that was involved with that weeping bitterly. That bitter weeping that brought about the repentance later. But imagine what surely would have gone on had it been you or I. If it would have been us, what would we have done as the scripture gives to us those words that he wept bitterly? I believe that you and I can place ourselves into that category and into that verse to have an understanding of what Peter may have dealt with, may have gone through. One thing the scripture doesn't really tell us how long he wept. Did he weep bitterly through the long hours of that night and the next day? Was he still weeping when Christ was crucified? Was he still involved with that bitter weep and that crying from his soul when they took him from the cross and put him in the tomb? And the next day was the Sabbath, and there was very little activity going on. And yet there was probably the great possibility that all the disciples went to the temple to worship. Perhaps they went. Maybe they were still in fear. I can't help but believe, and from my own heart and my own experience, from my own personal makeup, I think Peter probably was still tucked away somewhere. He didn't even want to face anybody. He didn't want to see anybody. He didn't want anybody to see him. Perhaps even through that long Sabbath day, he was still weeping bitterly over what had taken place. Maybe as he wept, he cried out, "Oh Lord, what have I done? My Lord is gone. My hope is gone. I've denied the Lord. All of the love that he's given to me. 3 years of blessed fellowship, and I denied him." And maybe from the depths of his heart, he cried out with anguish of soul, "Oh God, have mercy on me." I believe that all that can be found up in those words that he went out and wept bitterly. Peter did sink into the depths of humiliation. He did cry out with bitter anguish. But we find that that was the turning point, the begin to the change. And so we read later then, as we follow through with the story, that on the first day of the week, Jesus came and showed himself to Peter. Peter also saw Jesus when Jesus came to the disciples and met with them in the upper room. Then there was the time that out on the lake of Galilee, or at the side of the lake of Galilee, and Jesus asked Peter those pointed words, "Lovest thou me?" You know, was Peter remembering once again, every time that Jesus said, "Lovest thou me," was Peter's heart again stabbed with the pain and the anguish of his denial, realizing that as Jesus was ticking off the questions, Peter was ticking off the denial? "Lovest thou me? I don't know him. Peter, do you love me? I don't know who he is. Peter, do you love me? I have nothing to do with him." Maybe all of that was ringing in Peter's mind, and yet the only thing that Peter really seemed to know what to say or how to say was simply, "Lord, you know that I love you. You know what's down in my heart. You know exactly what's taking place in my soul. You know the sorrow that I've gone through. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." That was the beginning, or Peter was now prepared for the deliverance from self. Peter was now ready to be delivered from that self-life, that selfish containment that holds us. Though we want to serve God and we want to be faithful to him and we don't want to deny, and yet there's that self. And now Peter's finding himself, he's at that place where he's ready to be delivered from self. Christ looked at him. Christ took him as well as the others and told them to go to a specific place, a place that some writers would call the footstool of the throne. We call it the upper room. The reason why I suppose they call it the footstool of the throne was because they were told to go there, and if they went there, God would meet them there like a father would meet a child at the footstool. And so Peter was among those that went, and they waited. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and Peter was a changed man. Peter was a completely different person. We can think about the change that took place in Peter. We can see the boldness, the change in the boldness. Not just simply bold for the sake of self, but now he's bold for the sake of Christ. We see that there's a power change that has taken place. It's no longer the power struggle for himself, but now it's the power of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through him. The insights that he had in Scripture, the insights that he had in spiritual things, only we see that that insight grows and blossoms as the change has taken place in his life. While we think about the changes that have taken place, we cannot minimize, we cannot neglect the change that brought about the blessing with which he preached that day. I don't know, I can't speak for any other preacher, but I believe that we're probably all in the same boat. We'd like to see that kind of thing happen. 3,000, several thousand people getting saved and added to the church in one day. I suppose that there's a lot of lay people that would like to see that happen. Wow, the incredible blessing of his preaching on that day of Pentecost. But not only should we talk about the changes that are visible in those things, and we should thank God for those changes, but there was something for Peter that was deeper and better than even what we think about in those changes. Because as we find it, as we look into it and find it, we will notice that Peter's very nature was changed. You say, was he no longer emotional where he had been emotional before? No, he was probably still emotional. But the nature of self had changed. The work that Christ began in Peter when he looked upon him after that third denial was perfected when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The work that Christ began in him was perfected when the Spirit of God came and dwelt within. If you want to see that, you can look at the first epistle of Peter. You remember all of those failings that Peter had prior to Pentecost, prior to the crucifixion. All of those failings prior to his bitter weeping, he said to Christ, in effect, he said, "You can't suffer. It cannot be." But it showed to Peter that he didn't have any kind of conception of what it was to pass from death into life. Christ said to Peter that he had to deny himself. And in spite of the words of Christ to him of self-denial, Peter went out and denied the Lord three times. Christ even warned Peter. Peter said, "No, I'm not going to do that." Peter was showing how very little he understood of what was inside of himself. But when we read his epistle, we can hear him say in the fourth chapter, in the 14th verse, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ." Does that sound like the old Peter? "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you." You see, Peter couldn't say that the night of the trial, because in Peter's mind, he was denying Christ. But then we find, as he writes the epistle, he recognizes that the reproach that Christ was talking about for himself carries over, and Peter could no longer be ashamed of that reproach. Peter could no longer deny that he was with Christ, that he knew Christ, that he had fellowship with Christ, that he longed within his heart now to have a fellowship in his sufferings. "Happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you." That wasn't the old Peter, but that was the very Spirit of Christ breathing and speaking within him. And then we can find in the second chapter of the first epistle, in verse 21, he said, "Hereunto ye are called to suffer, even as Christ suffered." What a change had taken place, come over Peter. Instead of denying Christ, he was now finding joy and pleasure and having that self-denied and that self-crucified and that self-given up to the death, suffering with Christ. The change that took place in Peter was also readily seen in the book of the Acts in chapter 5, 29, when he was called before the council and he boldly said, "We must obey God rather than men." And the change is further seen in that story as he returns with the other disciples and they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's name. What an incredible change. You remember that self-exaltation that he had a problem with? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, we see that Peter has a new understanding about exaltation or self-life. Because now he says, "The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price." Again, he tells us in the fifth chapter, in the fifth verse, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Look at Peter's utter change, complete change. Self-pleasing, self-trusting, self-seeking Peter. Peter continually, seemingly getting into trouble. He's foolish, he's impetuous, he's rash in his actions and his motion. He's impulsive. We find all of that in this impetuous Peter. But now he's filled with the Spirit and the life of Jesus Christ. You see, Christ did it for him through the Holy Spirit. Now you say, what is the object of bringing us to such a focus point into the story of Peter? The reason for such a focused pointing of the story of Peter is that this story must be the history of every believer who is really to be made a blessing for the cause of Christ. That must be our history. That must be a part of our lives. That story should be and is really a prophecy of what everyone can receive from God. Doesn't Jesus promise us that if we ask God how willing He is to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? What are the lessons? Are there any lessons that we can learn? One thing that we can learn from this life of Peter is that you may be a very earnest, godly, devoted believer, but the power of the flesh is yet very strong. You see, before Peter denied the Lord, Peter knew what it was to cast out devils. Peter knew what it was to heal the sick. He was a pretty good guy. He was a devoted follower. He was readily obedient. He had great faith. He had spiritual insight. And yet the flesh had power over him, and the flesh had room in him. We can talk about the pride of Peter and all of the rashness of Peter. The self-confidence of Peter. It's all rooted in one word, self. All rooted in one word, and that's self. And Christ said to Peter, and He says to all of us, that we need to deny self. Peter didn't understand, he didn't obey, and because of that, he failed. You see, what that ought to do for you and for me is to cause us to cry out, "Oh God, allow me to discover this. Allow me to see me the way You saw Peter at that point in his life. Discover it to me that I might not be found living the self life. Lord, look on me as You looked on Peter. Help me to see me the way You see me. And help me to realize, as Peter did, Lord, You know all things." Bring us to the place where we can, with Peter, weep bitterly over the life of self, to weep bitterly to the point that we can deny self, that we can live the life of suffering with Christ, the crucifying of the flesh. How does it done? How does it take place? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. It's the work of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit for us to discover the power of self. You see, we're not going to see it on our own. We won't see it by ourselves. We will only see it as He, the Holy Spirit, reveals Himself to us. How could it be that Peter, the carnal Peter, the self-willed Peter, The Peter with a strong self-love could ever become a man of Pentecost and a writer of this epistle or his two epistles? How could it be? Well, it's simply because Christ was watching him. Christ had him in charge, and Christ taught him, and Christ blessed him, and the warnings of Christ in his life were a part of that training. But all of that was to no avail without the look of love. Did you get that? All of that was to no avail. You see, Peter threw it all away. But then at the moment when Jesus looked with love in his eyes and compassion on Peter, it all seemed to find root within his heart. The look of love. Even in the sufferings that Christ had to endure, he did not forget Peter. Even while he was suffering, even while he was in anguish of soul as well as body, he still turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. It was Christ that led Peter to Pentecost. And it's Christ who is waiting today to take charge of every heart who is willing to surrender itself to him. Perhaps there's some tonight that are saying, oh, that is the problem with me. It's always self-life. It's always self-comfort. It's self-consciousness. It's self-pleasing, self-will. How am I to get rid of this? The answer is the same. It's Christ. It's Jesus who can rid you of self. None else but Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Christ can bring full deliverance from the power of self. What is it that he asks us to do? We can't go to the trial. We can't catch a glimpse of Jesus and catch his eye as he, in his anguish and suffering, turns to look at us. We can't do that. But what he does ask us to do is to humble ourselves. And as we humble ourselves, even like Peter did, weeping bitterly, it's really summed up in the Epistle of John, where John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter went out and wept bitterly. That was the turning point. That was the change that began to take place so that the Holy Spirit could purify his heart. And as Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, we can find that Peter's conversion was sound because he went the whole distance and allowed the Holy Spirit to purify his heart, to change him from a self person to a Christ person. No longer I, as Paul would say, but Christ living within me. As we stand together this evening, perhaps there's someone here tonight that is still struggling in the self life. Want to follow God, but there's times of failure, and there's times of denial, and there's times of regret in your spiritual life. Jesus Christ looks at you even as he did to Peter with a look of love. And in that look of love, he's compelling you to come. Oh yes, he will quiz you. Lovest thou me more than these? And our answer must be the same. Yea, Lord, thou knowest I really love you. The altar's open if somebody needs to pray. If you're in need tonight, why don't you come and let that need be met? Let him purify your heart. Make an end of the self-life. Make an end of selfish living. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings throughout this day, for your help and presence in this service tonight. Go with us as we go our separate ways. Keep your hand upon us. Speak to us. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. And walk in your light, we pray. In Jesus' name.